I have decided to follow Jesus. Come on. To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. When all is said, y'all need to hear this, because we're living in a time where if you don't know this, you're going to get eat up and spit out. You are. And the times are going to get even crazier, I believe. We may get a reprieve here for a few years, but, anyway. What I wanted to tell you was that when all is said and when all is done, God is good. You say that, brother, and you know that was kind of a quippy saying that was going around in the Christian realm for, and I agree. God is good all the time, but it's not a commercial. And really, and please, you're right, but I don't mean any offense in that, but it's something you got to know. You got to know God is good. I remember, I don't know if Jerry Hill said this when she was here or not, but there was a time she told us, or I heard her speak it here when she was preaching. She said, Steve was in so much excruciating pain, you have no idea what he went through. And she said one day she just shook her fist and said, God, why are you letting this happen to a man that's led hundreds of thousands of people to the Lord? Why? That's, you're not good. That's not good. And Steve grabbed her and said, oh, honey, no, he has been so good to us. He has been so good to us. He was so good. Do you remember that? He had to correct his wife, and he was the one going through. Of course, it's anyway. She got the message that God is good. Steve knew that God is good. And in times of trial and tribulation, you've got to know that God is good. You've got to know it. I mean, really, you've got to know it. You can't just think it or believe it or, you know, you say it. You can say it all you want, but until you know it. And those of y'all that came out of a rough life, those of you that got delivered from drugs, those of you that got delivered out of the world, you know God is good. Now, don't get me wrong. That don't mean others don't. I'm just saying, look at somebody that's been through the trials and the tribulation. That testimony by you in prison, you know God is good. You know those guys didn't just want to hit you on the cheek. You know what they wanted to do. Yeah. Yeah. That's good, Chuck. I set you right up for that one. And let me tell you how bad it was. He told me this story. The first night he was in there, he was put in a cell with a black guy, right? Not being racial. I know when I say black guy, people are saying, why are you distinguishing? Because he was black and Chuck's white. That's why. Just simple. But he said that he woke up sometime at night and he heard something. And he looked up and this cellmate was hanging by his neck. And he said that he grabbed him by the legs and started holding him up and started screaming for a CO to come. And he came and he said, what's going on? He said, this guy's hanging himself. He said, oh, let him go. What did he say exactly?
He probably didn't say it like that.
Oh, he did.
Did he?
He looked at him and he said, oh, he's a black man. Let him go. after he's done shaking and he's calmed down, basically after he's dead, call us back, we'll come get him.
So this is what this young man, 18 years old, you know God's good.
Yes, sir.
There's no doubt in your mind. You can't even wrap your head around that one, can you? But anyway, I didn't want to shock you. I just want you to know that you need to know when things like that happen, God is still good. God is still on the throne. Let me read you a few scriptures. 1 John, and I'm going to go real quick. 1:4-5. These things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Matthew 7:11-12. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So it's saying right there, God is good, and he'll give good gifts to his children, right? Psalm 84:10, a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Mark 10:18, Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. Psalm 107, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Yes.
Say it! God is good. God is good. Despite of your opinion. Or experience, your experience. You can't judge God by your experiences. We don't judge rightly. The only one that can judge rightly is God, right? He's the only righteous judge. Psalm 100, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. You got that memory verse? Wow. Let's say that in verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Matthew 24, changing gears here for just a minute. You can go there because I'm going to park there for a minute. Y'all got it? Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Why do you think they did that? Because it was beautiful. They were looking at the temple of God, the temple where people went and worshiped and sacrificed and God inhabited, right? They said, look at this, Jesus. And he's probably thinking, man, I've been to the third heaven. This is nice, but really, this is nice, but you don't have a clue about heaven. He didn't say that. He was very kind. Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone will be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. That happened in 70 A.D. Exactly what he said. They said you could plow the ground from where the temple was, where the temple wall and everything, it was completely destroyed. Now as he came to the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? Okay, saying, when is this temple going to be destroyed? I take it is what he's saying. When's this going to happen? And then in a different sentence, he says, and what will be the sign of your coming? And there's a comma there, and it says, and of the end of the age. So he's separating these things. We're not talking about prophecy here, but we are. And Jesus answers and said to them, take heed. What's heed? That's a strong word. Pay attention very closely. Yes. My mom used to say that. Country women used to say that. You better heed what I say, young man. And I knew. I knew it was corporal punishment if I didn't. My mom abused me, and I needed it a lot. How many of y'all got abused with a belt? Wham! And in the summertime, oh, praise God, you had shorts on. Oh, and they were little shorts. So they weren't these shorts that come down to here. They came up to about here, right? Because they had such nice legs. But she would send you outside to the maple tree. She would have you cut off. You better not cut a small one off or she'd get a board. You cut off a switch. That's what we call it, a switch. And she would leave three leaves on the end strategically. These three leaves had like, it was like a cat of three tails. Had them little, man, would light you up. So take heed. Take heed. I don't think it would hurt kids too much, really, honestly. I had whelps. I remember one time Mom said, you better not wear shorts to school today. Jesus' answer, take heed that no one, what? Deceives you. And I'm going to read you the Greek definition of deceive, okay? Because it's powerful. Why, you little girl, what are you doing? Wandering off from Mama. Hello. She's so pretty and sweet, aren't you? Take heed that no one deceives you. And deceive means to cause to stray, to lead astray, to lead aside from the right way, to wander, to roam about, lead away from the truth, to lead into error, to deceive, to be led into error, to be led from the path of virtue, sin, to sever or fall away from the truth, heretics, to be led away into error and sin. And I know that was lengthy, but deceive is a strong, strong, strong word. And sometimes when you've been walking with the Lord just a short time, Shelby, you've been walking with the Lord a while, but sometimes when you've read the Bible a bunch and you think you really know a lot, you get this idea that I couldn't be deceived. There's nobody in this room that can't be deceived. The very idea that you believe you can't be deceived means that you've been deceived already. You wouldn't have put it in there if it hadn't been the truth. So take heed, okay? It's important stuff because there's stuff coming on this planet that's like unbelievable. Many will come in my name. Who's he talking? Jesus. Many people will come in Jesus' name saying, I am the Christ. And I know a lot of people think, like somebody that comes and says, I'm the Christ. I'm the Holy One. I don't believe that's what he's saying at all. I believe he's saying there will be many come saying, Jesus is the Christ. And will deceive many. Read what the Amplified said.
It says, many will come in my name, misusing it and appropriating the strength of the name which belongs to me.
Wow, that's good. That says it perfectly. Okay, number one, many will come in the name of Jesus and deceive many, right? Number two, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Do we hear that? Hey, that's been going on since the beginning of time, haven't it? See that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, and that literally means ethnic group against ethnic group. That means Muslim against Jew. That means black against white. That means just different ethnic. And have you ever seen more division? Did you ever think, you know, you'd think after Martin Luther King and the 60s and the riots and everybody got the right way of thinking about people, I've never seen so much disunity. So it's fulfilling prophecies what it's doing. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. That's four. And there will be famines. That's five. What's a famine? We don't have a clue what a famine is. Starvation. Go to Haiti, you can see a bit of that. But it's when there's no rain, there's no backup system, there's no Red Cross, there's no we'll feed you. Here, come get your food at the food bank. There's no, you die of starvation or you die of thirst. And it's happening all over the planet. We don't see it here. So that's fulfilled. Pestilence, diseases without any known cure, like AIDS. Now, I think they've got something that can make you live longer with it now, but it's always these viruses are just mutating, bam, 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 and they can't even keep up with them. They're mutating so fast. Man, we need Jesus. We need protection from the Holy Spirit, don't we? Pestilence, earthquakes in, I like King James says, diverse places. I like it, diverse. But in various places, there'll be earthquakes. Places you never would imagine, there'll be earthquakes. And Lord, we've seen earthquakes. We've seen tsunamis that wipes out. I mean, we've seen some stuff in the last few years. All these, yes, are the beginning of sorrows. Then, okay, so you notice how things are escalating? Yep. They're getting stronger and stronger, just like birth pains, right? Then they will deliver you up to what? Tribulation. And they will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Whose name's sake? Jesus. Jesus, very good. And then, after all this stuff has happened, it gets worse. Many will be offended. Yes, it's being done right now. Many will be, and I think King James says most, will be offended. And he's talking to believers. He's not talking to heathens. He's talking to people that supposedly know the way, that have been deceived, right? Many will be offended. And I want to read the Greek on that, offended, to put a stumbling block or impediment in the way, upon which another may trip and fall, to offend, to entice to sin, to cause a person to begin to distrust and desert one who he ought to trust and obey, to cause to fall away. And I believe, who was that teaching? He had a teaching on offense. He had about four videos. John Bevere, exactly. And I looked it up, and he said the word is scandalon, which means a snare or a trap. And if you know anything about that, you hide it real good, you make it stealth, and then something comes along and bam. So this offense will destroy you. Many will be offended. Many will be offended. And I didn't copy something right, so. Oh, many will be offended, excuse me, will betray one another and will hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Okay, when you get offended, you open yourself up to listen to false prophets. You open yourself up to follow somebody or listen to somebody that'll agree with you. Tickle your ears, exactly. We need to realize if we've got a fence in our life, because we're not far from betrayal. You ever seen betrayal go down in the church? Whoa, it ain't pretty, is it? It always starts with offense. If you've ever been a part of a church split, I never wish that on anyone. But it always starts with an offense, and then comes vain imaginations. This person's doing this. This person's doing this against me personally. And it's all fabricated. But the enemy lies. He whispers in your ear because he's a liar and the father of all lies. And if you look at people that have been deceived by this, if you look at their life, if you look, if they do not get things right, it will ultimately destroy you. And you'll be worse off than you were before Jesus. Really, don't allow offense in your life. Don't allow it. Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. It's like putting yourself in prison. So what happens after people are offended? They will betray one another. They will hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, Lord, have we got lawless abounding? The love of many or most will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So from all this, I just wanted to say a couple of short 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10s. You don't know. You don't even have to write that down. But first, you got to guard your heart. You got to guard your heart. For out of the heart comes what? The issues of life. You got to guard your heart. I remember there was a song. Did Rick Mathley write that song? Guard your heart, little children. Guard your heart from the devil's lies. What was a good song, man? I wish I had that. You got to guard it. You got to guard it. And guard doesn't mean you're just vegetating. Guard is a watchful attitude, isn't it? It's like if you were in the service and they told you, I want you to guard these prisoners. That don't mean you go to sleep and lay down and let them bushwhack you and hit you in the head while you're sleeping. You got to be aware. You got to be awake. You can't let the things of the world consume you so bad that you forget you're in a war. Man, they can hypnotize you. The world can hypnotize you. Have you seen the crap? Oh, excuse me. You've seen it. They are. Yeah. I was watching the other day, and they were showing these people that were having these little microchips injected into them so they could use them for, and this isn't for fairy tale stuff. This isn't conspiracy stuff. There's people actually. And it's so you can access where you work, so you don't need your butt pad in your wallet. You just scan it. Y'all got them? And look, man, I'm not saying this is the mark of the beast, but if you're willing, I think it's just setting people up for to just embrace anything out of convenience. And I know this is going to sound so far out. We were talking that there's a future where they could actually implant cell phones in you so you couldn't lose it, you couldn't get it wet. And think about that. if you can access stuff on a cell phone, can they access anything in you? I mean, really, this young generation, all they know is technology. They don't see the evil. And then, you know, it says the mark of the beast, they'll take a mark on their, what, right hand or forehead, and the name of the number of the mark will be 666. There's people that would take 666 in a heartbeat for convenience. You don't think so? No. Three things on the fidget spinner. You're right. Well, that could be. There could be something there. She's a wise woman of God. We must guard our hearts. You cannot permit your heart to be offended. You cannot allow it, because it's going to come real natural to get offended. Isn't it? You can't be offended at your family, even though they're hard to get along with sometimes. You can't be offended at your friends. You can't be offended at the heathen. Of course, we don't really get offended at them too bad anyway, because they're just doing what comes natural. You go, oh, yeah, well, you know. You can't be offended by other believers. Offenses will come, the word says. They will come. You can't be offended at the church. Because God put his blessing on the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. You can't be offended at the word of God. Ooh, a lot of people are offended at the word of God now. No, they're not. Not Christians. Oh, I beg your pardon. When you say they didn't really mean that, or Paul didn't really do this, or Paul was a sexist or a racist, or you're saying you're cutting out about a third of the New Testament. You can't say that. Well, you can say it all you want. You can't let it offend you. People are offended at God. People are offended at a whole lot of things right now. And the last one I had there is fact. We can't be offended at God. And if you think about it, when you're offended with a disappointment, when you're disappointed about something as a Christian, you really, really, you're blaming God that you didn't get what you thought you deserved. Is that true? And you know, I wrote this down too. Offense destroys intimacy. Offense destroys intimacy. Intimacy is necessary to feel God. Be in his presence and hear his voice. You've got to be intimate, and you can't be intimate when you're offended with somebody. And that's why it's important to pray together. That's why it's important for husband and wife to pray together. Because it's very hard to pray with somebody when you're offended at them. It is very hard. Okay, so how do you deal with this, man? First, you got to repent. First, and what you got to repent of is, I'm not offended at anything. But if you really think about it for just a couple of seconds, you'll go, oh, I really am offended. And I'm not trying to put something on you that's not there, but if it's there, you need to deal with it. Does that make sense? Oh, God, forgive me for being offended with Pastor Mark. Forgive me for being offended because I won't be able to sing Happy Birthday no more. Repent. First you repent to God, and then you repair and make restitution. How do you make restitution? Just depends on what you're restoring, right? need to make rest of, you need to go to people and go, you know what? And I, this is done so wrong sometimes. I repent. I'm really sorry that I've been angry at you because you're such a stinking jerk. I'm sorry that, no, you're not to point their sins out. You're just to say, look, forgive me for being angry with you or whatever it might be. Forgive me for judging you. Forgive me. And they can spit in your face, but you have done, you've done what God showed you to do, and you're, there's no blood on your hands, okay? Restitution is making things right that you made wrong before. What did Jesus say about restitution? Or was it John the Baptist they were asking? What do I need to do? Well, if you steal, don't steal no more. And give back everything you've stolen. And who was Zacchaeus, the tax collector, said, I restore back sevenfold everything I've stolen. So when we get things really right, we'll want to make it right, even if it costs us. Right? So restore, repent, restore, repair the breach. And the restoration in a relationship, if you'll do what you're called to do, it may not happen immediately. It may take time, but it's just like planting any seed. They'll get to thinking about it. And I just really believe that God said we must do that because we're coming into some times where if our heart's just not completely right. So let's stand up. Want to go play, playing something? Or both of you? If you want to. So Lord Jesus, God, we just hold your hands up to him. Jesus, look at me. Look at me, Jesus. I'm waving to you. Look at me, Lord. You know my heart, God. I hold my hands up and I leave my heart completely exposed, God. Lord, you know what's in my heart, God. You know every evil thought. You know every hurt. You know every rejection. You know every fear. You know when I've held things against people, God. You know when I don't love people. I'm asking you right now, Jesus. You already know, but I'm asking you to show me, reveal to me what I need to know, Lord. And God, when I do, I promise, if you'll show me, don't promise it unless you will, but Lord, I promise you, if you'll show me, I'll come up to that altar and I'll get things right with you. And then, God, I believe that you will give me the strength to do what I need to do to get right with others, Lord. I don't want to be offended. I don't want to be offended. I don't want to be offended when it's all coming down. So if God has spoke to you, maybe this was just for me, but if God has spoke to you, just come down here and get things right. You don't have to share that with nobody else, but come down here and get things right with God. I promise you, you'll feel a lot lighter and happier and more at peace when you leave here. So if that's you, come on. Come on. Don't wait for others. Yes, Jesus. You are good, Lord. You are good, Lord. Wash me, Jesus, when I've thought otherwise, Lord. You are so good. So good. Altars are still open. I need to forgive. I need to forgive. If you don't forgive, you'll be turned over to the tormentors. You don't want that. Come on, wash me, Jesus. Come on. If you need prayer for anything, come on up here. I'd love to pray with you. We'll agree.